Good morning, church. Good morning, Trinity. I love you guys. It's such a happy, wonderful place to be. My name is Dee Dee, as Duncan has said. And yeah, we've known each other for 15 years. My husband and I have, and Peter have been coming here for 15 years. So what we're going to do today. So we have, as a church, been going through the Sermon on the Mount. We have, and this has been where, you know, Jesus has gone to on a mountain, and he has taken his disciples, and lots of other people have followed him. When he's now been on the mountain, he starts giving a series of teaching. So he is new to them. He is bringing in the kingdom of God, and they don't really know what it looks like to be a kingdom people, to have kingdom attitudes, to be salt and to be light. So first of all, he teaches them about what it is to be a blessed people of God, to be merciful, to be kind, to be all the things that our God is. And then, and that's what Duncan went through week one. And then week two, Andy went through being salt and being light. So it's not just good enough for us to just be these cool Christians. We need to be in places to change the atmosphere for them to see what God is like. So this week, I'm now going to take us to the next level. So Jesus has come, and they're looking at him because he's speaking to Jewish people, and Jewish people understand the law, they understand the commandments and all the things that are associated with it. And so he's like, and they're like, well, what's he come to do? Has he come to fulfill the commandments? Has he come to give us even more commandments? Has he come to take everything away and they don't matter anymore? So that is what we're going to be looking at today. Thank you, Gina. Thank you. Yeah, with it behind you, not really sure where you're going. Okay. So we're going to look at this through the lens of the next verses in Matthew 5. So Matthew 5, 17 to 20, and I'm reading from the NIV version. So Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, unto heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will be by any means disappear from the law, until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches his commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So what I'm going to do is just go through what the law is, just very briefly go through what the law is, why we had the law, and why this is so important. So first of all, what was the law? The law was actually 613 commandments that the people had to, that the Israelites needed to know. They needed, it was a relationship contract between God the Father and the God his and his people. And what they needed to do was, if they kept the law, if they did everything that was right on the law, they would be seen as righteous. They will be seen as acceptable before God. They will be in good standing with God. But if they didn't keep the law, then they would be seen as sinners. So the whole purpose of the law was to define a relationship between his people and himself. The law had three sections to it. As I said, most of us, when I started reading about this and going through it, I was thinking Ten Commandments. Well, the Ten Commandments was just part of the law. It's the moral law. It gave, it told us what was right and what was wrong. The next part was the ceremonial law, the sacrifices and the feasts and purity laws. All of those things were there to show everybody what, you know, to help everybody when they failed the law to come back into relationship with God, who, you know, who they were trying to have a relationship with. And they were trying to show Jesus to, and they were trying to show the people that Jesus was coming and this is what he would be doing for them. And then there was finally the civil law, that just laws about justice and welfare, how as a community that represents God you would be.
365 negative ones.
Sorry?
365 negative ones.
16. Oh. Yeah. That's, yeah. 365 negative ones. Yes.
That's one for every day.
Yeah, literally one for every day. Yeah. No. Yeah, that's fine. Good that you're reading the slide. Well done. Yeah, okay.
No,
that's fine, because actually it's good, because the slide order must have changed because I wasn't on that page. Right, so he came.
Sorry.
It's okay, Duncan. We're okay. Okay, so first of all, let's go to what Jesus said about the law. He said he's come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Is there a slide there, Gina, that says why he gave the law?
Yeah,
is that? Oh, perfect. All right, we can go back to not to abolish. I just want to make sure it's there. So he said, okay, no. So yeah, so Jesus came to not abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Why was this a problem? Why was he even discussing this? Because the people there had this law for 1,400 years. This is how they related to God. This is all that they knew. So he's now come, and the first thing he's saying to them is, don't worry, I will fulfill this law for you. And that's a good thing, because you all know that we are not good at fulfilling laws. Okay, next one. Why did? Hey. Okay, so why did God give the law? He wanted a relationship with his children. He loved his children. It really is as simple as that. His children, the Israelites, had been in captivity in Egypt for a long time. They didn't know what God looked like. They didn't understand what it meant to be a child of God. They had nothing. So just as when a new child comes into your house and you have to give them a framework to know you, to understand the family and what's going on, he had to give the law so that his children would understand how to relate to him and what to do. So the first thing, as I said, point one, to teach Israel what he was like. They had slave masters around them. They had people that treated them badly around them. So you know how sometimes if your dad hasn't been a good man, then you see God as a bad man and all those different things. What he needed to do was to give a picture of who he was, to give his image of who he was. He needed to teach Israel what sin was. He needed to teach his children what good and what bad was. When I was about 8, I went to, I really loved my primary school teacher. I really loved her. So my love language is gifts. So I decided to give my primary school teacher a gift. So what I did is on the way to school, I went to my mum's jewellery box, and I saw the 24 the 24 carat gold sovereign coin and the 24 carat gold crucifix. And they were still in their packets, so that's perfect because I don't need to wrap the present. So I get to school and I give, my teacher's name was Miss Bailey. I give Miss Bailey the two presents. And Miss Bailey says to me, "And Didi, are you sure that your mum told me that said to you that I could have this?" I'm like, yes, my mom said you could have it. Okay, she's looking at it. So the end of day, at the end of the school day, my mother and Miss Bailey were waiting for me in the classroom. They told me, they instructed me on what sin and law looks like. So I had, it was a good intention. I loved my teacher, I wanted to give her a gift. However, I chose to steal, and I chose to lie to give a gift. I broke, is it the 8th and the 9th commandment? So they explained to that in the class that that's what happened. You know, that's what I had done, and that wasn't great. And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." She gave my mum back her jewellery. I went home. When I got home, my mum then showed me that breaking the law has consequences. Yeah, it has consequences. So I learned that you could be doing a good thing, a very good thing, but do it in the wrong way. I had to learn what sin was. And I did. Trust me, I did learn what sin was. I did learn what sin was. So that's what Father God was doing. He was giving them a list of things saying, don't steal, don't hurt people, love me, so that they would know, you know, what sin was. And so the next one then is he gave it to them, he gave them the law to show that they couldn't do through works and stuff, they couldn't have a good relationship with him. Yeah? He sort of said, okay, these are the things, this is what I look like. And the Israelites said, okay, we will fulfill everything here, and if we fulfill everything here, you will see us as good. And that's what they kept trying to do. And if you read the Old Testament, if you go through it, it just keeps showing you time and time again how they failed. They tried to keep it, but they couldn't keep it because they were trying to do it in their own strength. So he wanted to sort of show them, you need a Messiah. You need something. You need me to help you keep these laws. You need me, my nature, to be able to do it. My son, Chica, there, who was eight, when he was eight, no, he's a bit older now, but when he was... he's 26. No, he was eight. No, my son, Chica, when he was eight, the whole family went to something similar to what you guys are going to next week, Catalyst Festival. We went to a festival. And when my children were growing up, so I have two boys, Alyssa and Chica, when they were growing up, my method of bringing them up was to give as many laws as possible so that they would not be confused and they would at least keep one or two. Their dad's method was to give one law for different circumstances. So in this particular case, when Chica would go to football with his dad would say, stand here. Whatever happens, if I go to the toilet, whatever, just stay here so that when I come back, I know exactly where you are. So remember, we're on this holiday. Chica has one commandment. Just stand. Wherever we leave you, just stay there. So we go, we're with him, we leave him because he's responsible with his friends, and we come back, and the child is not there. The child is not there. So, okay, what can we do? What can we do? We close down our version of the Catalyst Festival. We literally closed it down. Nobody could go in, nobody could go out for 2 hours, because obviously an eight-year-old was missing. They found my eight-year-old. Yeah, they did. They found my eight-year-old, and he was busking for some Christian fundraising thing, wasn't it? Yeah. He'd left the spot where I'd left him, and he was busking. Yet again, he was doing something good by breaking commandments, disobeying his parents. Commandment number 5. Yeah. And that's... yeah. So what I'm saying here is that it doesn't matter whether it's one commandment, 100 commandments, we break them. That's what we do. And so, you know, that's what... And so we needed Jesus, essentially. That's what that bit is about. And then, as I said, to teach, number 4, to teach Israel about the true Messiah. You know, all the different sacrifices and things, they were showing that when the Messiah would come, this is what he would do. So when he came, some of them actually understood what it meant that he was the Messiah. So that was what the law was doing. Okay. We can go on to the next one. Thank you. Okay. So there were... From what we read before, from what we went through, let me just get it. First two. So Andy always says, Didi, use a laptop, use a laptop, use iPad. I get it, but I just love paper. Sorry. Okay. So, so yeah. So the first one, Jesus says he didn't come to abolish the law. Then he says, for truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So what he's saying is that this law is 100%. Every single thing about the law has got to be done. There is no, you know, I'll do 99% and I will pass. You would do 100%. So he's saying, this law is hard. You've got to do everything. And then he says, and then if anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do that, they will be called the least in the kingdom. Well, what's he talking about here? You know, he says, but whoever practices and teaches this command will be called great in the kingdom. Now, I think that when people read this, they think, okay, if I go out and I teach the commands and I practice the commands, I'll be great in the kingdom. But if I don't do that, then I won't be great in the kingdom. I see it slightly differently. I see that that's what the Pharisees did, the people there that knew about law. I see that that's what they did. They were like, oh, if I keep all of these commands, well, I am the greatest in the kingdom. And if I don't, if you don't, then you're the least in the kingdom. I think what Jesus is doing here is just showing them how hard this is, how hard keeping these laws are, and that it's not the best way to have a relationship with God. Amen. Yeah? So everyone here, you know, hear me for this part. Trying to keep laws is not the best way to have a relationship with anyone. But it's definitely not the best way to have a relationship with God. The week before last, when Duncan preached, he said, you know, if you need healing from needing to read your Bible every day, because it's going to make you feel better or it's going to make you a better Christian. No. That's not what we do. What we need is a relationship with Jesus. And that's why he came to fulfill the law. That's why he came to do everything. So what I think Jesus is actually doing is just showing everybody how difficult this actually is, so that they will look at it and they think, God, I can't do this. I need something else. And he obviously is the something else. So go to the next slide, please. Okay. And then he says just make everyone think, I'm finished. What am I going to do? And this is the heart of the message. He says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So at this point, all the people on the mount would think, well, that's it, we're finished. We're not going to go into heaven because these guys are the ones that are the most righteous. And we are not as righteous as them. So we will not get into heaven. So I'm just going to talk a bit about the gift of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. I need three volunteers, because I was going through my slides with my son and my daughter yesterday, and then I got to righteousness, and they went, mm-mm. So I know that we need the collective need all of us. So I need three people. I need a person that really, really knows me. I need a person that, you know, doesn't really know me, but they would like to know me. And then I need a stranger. I need a proper stranger. A person you've never spoken to me before. This might be your first day. And I need you to come to the front, please. So three people, a person that really, really knows me. Thank you. I need a person that doesn't quite know me to come. Who's that going to be? And then I need someone that is a stranger. So. Yeah. So we can learn. So I've got... Thank you. So I've got all three of these people. So I actually know all three of them. I have to be honest. But he will be the person that that I really, really know. He is my son. He's the 8-year-old that terrorised us. Here. Thank you. Nice. She's a person I don't know quite well, but I definitely want to get to know you. Thank you. And you are a stranger who I've never seen before in my life, Ursula. And I will want to get to know you. Guys, you're free. That's all I want to do. I just wanted to give you a gift. Nothing else. I just wanted to give you a gift. So why did I give my chocolate? I love chocolate. Why did I give my chocolate out? Because I wanted you to remember, if you don't remember anything else I said today, I want you to remember that righteousness is a gift. There is nothing that you and I can do to be more righteous. Yeah? It is a gift that Jesus gives to us when we say yes to him. We say, yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will have a relationship with you. And then he says, oh, thank you. And then he puts his righteous nature inside of you. He puts it inside of you so that you do not need to do anything. You can come to church every Sunday. You can, go out and preach in the streets. You can do every single one of those things. You will not be any more righteous than me that is watching Traitors at Home. You won't. Because our righteousness comes from Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah? And that's it. So I'll go through other things, and I hope you do remember them. But in those moments, because what's going to happen in the next few weeks, we're going to continue in this series of Sermon on the Mount. And as we go through, they're going to say, oh, you know, if somebody slaps you, don't slap them back. Yeah. If somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. If somebody does this and somebody does that, and in these things, you're going to think, oh, I've got to try, I've got to be. No. You have a righteous nature. You are the righteousness of God, God in Christ? Yeah? That is who you are. So it doesn't matter what your past was. It doesn't matter the sin you committed if you're looking at ASOS. Where's my daughter-in-law? If you're looking at ASOS while I'm teaching, it doesn't matter.
We threatened to.
As I was going through it yesterday, I said, Mom, if you do this bit, we'll be looking at ASOS. So I'm just shaming you. No, it really doesn't matter. Yeah? It really doesn't matter. Okay, so then what is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God, and it's a right alignment with his will. Jesus is right standing with God because he is totally accepted by God. He has fulfilled everything, and he has right standing with God. He has a right relationship with God. Jesus just loves, what he says, my job is to do the Father's will. So Jesus loves the Father's will. So he has given us a nature that loves to do the Father's will, and that has right standing with God. Yeah, so we don't need to add anything else onto that. His righteousness actually becomes our new nature. Whenever we do things, wherever we go, you know, everything, all of this comes through Jesus. And it's about relationship and not rules. And that's what I was saying earlier on. You all can do all the rules you want, but if you do not have a relationship with him, you know, it's not really going to count for much. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. I need some help. What time is it? How many minutes have I got left? It's gone.
You've got about
10. Okay, that's it. That's okay. I feel like, what's it, MasterChef? Where you're like, oh, what have I got left? Okay. Okay, so Jesus here in the verse 20, says, you know, you need a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees. Pharisees were always rule-keeping. They didn't really like, let's look at what they were like. And when the woman that committed adultery came to them, they were like, let's stone her. And then Jesus says, okay, whoever amongst you has no sin, you can stone her. So they came with the law, the letter of the law. Jesus came with the heart of the law. Jesus came with the heart of the law. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants a righteousness that comes from us. Why? Why do we need? The same reason why the law was important. Why was the law important? Because it brought God's children back in relationship with him. Why is righteousness important? It brings us back into relationship with him. That's all that God wants. God is a father. All fathers that are good fathers want good relationships with their children. Yeah, and that's what he wants. He wants a good relationship with us. So, yeah, so Jesus has given it to us. So I'm going to flip to the next slide, please, Gina. And it's about becoming who you already are. And the reason I say this is that I've said all of us are righteous. Anybody that's a Christian, you are righteous. You know, you have a relationship with Jesus, you are righteous. If you never read your Bible, you are righteous. If you read your Bible, you are righteous. That's a state of your identity. But if you want more, if you want to bring what's inside outside of you, you just need to have this. You need a relationship. So you need to become who you already are. One of the verses says that we want to put on the gift that God has given to us. Put on the gift that God has given to us. So he's given us this gift of righteousness. So how then do we put on the gift of righteousness? We live from inside to outside. What Jesus gave two commandments. What are the two commandments that Jesus gave? I know that there are the 10. Who can give me the two? Love the Lord your God. And love your neighbour as yourself. That's it. I'm a maths teacher. Sometimes when the situation, you know, they're like 20 million steps and this child needs to get this for tomorrow to understand this exam, I will say, here are the two things that you need to do. Do these two things and you will pass the test. That's it. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, all these 613 laws, if you love your neighbor as you love yourself and you love God, done. No, it's, thank goodness, as you say. Yeah. So in order to become what we already are, we need to, in all our situations, apply this. We need to say, what am I doing? This person's come. I do not like them. I love you, Ursula, because it looks like I'm looking in your direction. You know, but I do, I love you. But, you know, if I didn't love you, I do not like you. You know, and then I just, you know, and then the Holy Spirit will say, because you know what Holy Spirit's job is? To convict me of righteousness, not to tell me I'm a sinner. He every day he says, Dee Dee, you are wonderful, you are righteous. And that's how you should behave. So I look at Ursula, I say, oh, okay, I may have issues with her, but I love her. I'm gonna love her as I love myself. Oh, you love me too, lovely, thank you. I'm gonna love her as I love myself. And that's literally what it is. Yeah? This is where we are going, this is what we need to do. We follow the example, not the roots. How this transformation works. It works through connection and obedience to Jesus, not through monitoring our behaviour. So I'm not saying everyone go out now and just do what everyone was doing with the law, where, oh, I'm the law, I must keep the law, I must... No, no, no. I don't want you to go out now and say, I must be righteous. You know, it's like being a dancer and saying, I must be a dancer. No, dance. Yeah? Just dance. You know, Holy Spirit will help you. Holy Spirit will guide you. Holy Spirit will show you what it is to be righteous, what righteousness looks like. Jesus is our perfect example of righteousness. He modeled righteousness for us. So we have the nature inside of us and we have a perfect model. Together with those two things, we can become people that are righteous. Now, I preach and I share all of this not because I am righteous in the sense that every action I do is righteous. I'm 100% righteous, but all my actions may not be righteous. Like the time that I was in a prayer meeting in the car and I'm speaking in tongues, oh, yes, Jesus, and the car comes in front of me and I shout out words that you do not want to hear in church, but I'm speaking in tongues on the phone. Fortunately, the pastors that were with me were English, so they didn't say anything. If they'd been Nigerian pastors, they'd say, oh my goodness, Lydia, how can you swear on the phone? But I was full of righteousness, because inside of me is a righteous nature. The only thing was, we hadn't quite got there yet. You know, Jesus says, the Bible says we go from glory to glory to glory. Yeah? So all I'm saying is true. And we may look at ourselves and think, I'm not the perfect model. But it will just take time. You are a diamond inside that is going to come out. So finally, what does this mean for us? Number one, as I've said, if you don't remember anything, remember the chocolates. It's a gift. We receive the gift of righteousness. Number two, how does this righteousness walk? How do we walk this righteousness out? We practice what Jesus said. We follow Jesus. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. Number three, how do I know whether my walk is looking a bit righteous, is looking a bit righteous now that I'm improving? Am I loving God? Am I loving myself? Am I loving my neighbor? That's it. And then number four, Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and the job of the Holy Spirit, as I said, is to convict us of righteousness. If something in your head is saying to you, I'm a sinner, I've done wrong, God doesn't want to know me, because that's what righteousness is about, having this wonderful relationship with God, I don't fit in, anything like that. If something in your head is saying that, it is not Jesus, it is not God. Yeah, because what God says to you is, you are righteous. Yes, you may be doing things that are not righteous at the moment, but you will become what you are on the inside. So, what I want to do now, yeah, perfect. What I want to do now is just to say, let's pray for this. Let's pray. If there's somebody here and guilt from your past behavior, guilt from past sins. It's just stopping you from being able to walk in your identity as a righteous child, to remember daily that you were righteous. I would love to pray for you. These are struggles. These are things that I had to go through myself. I would love to pray for you. And we'll have a beautiful prayer team over there that can also pray for you. If there's someone here that, you know, you're still thinking about, how do I even get in a relationship with Jesus? Come. We'll talk. But finally, I just want to just pray a final prayer. And it just says, Lord, thank you for all our righteousness, because it all comes from you and not our own efforts. Thank you that you have given us a heart that is transformed by your grace and by your love, and that every day, every single one of us here can be in a perfect, righteous, wonderful relationship because of what you've done. Amen.